Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew. No Ben this episode at all. He is out and
He's down under, Australia.
Mate. Of course he is. He's out and about in Australia.
He's growing our international brand.
He's out there working the other side of the world. He's working the Antipodes. But this is, of course, Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, and we've got a superb guest. Kat Bond is our guest.
The brilliant Kat Bond. You directed one of her Edinburgh shows, didn't you?
I did. I directed Loo Roll, her show in Edinburgh a few years ago, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. I think she's really brilliant. She's so unique. She's so different. She's not like anybody else you'd see on the circuit. And I've always thought she's absolutely great. And and also she's got like she's just a really, you'll find out as you listen to the podcast. She's got a very unique personality, and that really comes across. Now, obviously, the last episode of House Meeting, I started with a request for beefs.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody who sent in beefs. We've had a ton of them in, but we've had a couple of very, very smart ideas about how we can kind of broaden the remit of the podcast. The first one came from a fellow called Stuart Lennon, who suggested that we open it up to, you know, other beefs outside of the flat. We leave the flat once in a while because there are plenty of people here who, you know, maybe they live alone, maybe they've got no beefs with their flatmates, maybe they're not in a flat share situation. So, so tell us, we're going to do one, not in this episode, but going forward, we're going to do one free range beef. So if you've got a beef that is with literally anybody at all, right?
A beef in the world outside of the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
So each episode, we're going to do one that is, you know, you've got carte blanche. I think.
Have you got a shopkeeper who gives you the willies? Have you got a bus driver who gives you the arsehole? What's the worst? You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know what we're after. And I think as well, let's make it from your life in the same way that it would be flat share. But, you know, you can't just say, oh, that celebrity off the telly really gives me, gives me the hump. It's got to be more from your own life. But we'd love to hear your free range beefs. So that should be in the next episode we do. You should hear some free, at least one free range beef. It's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. So get in touch with those beefs. We're also doing two September flat slams, right? The tickets are going to be on sale. I mean, I've not put the tickets on sale yet, but by the time this episode goes out, there'll be links in the show notes. I've booked a handful of fantastic guests. Haven't worked out who's going to be in which episodes, but so far we've got booked the brilliant Anya Magliano, who's smashing it in Edinburgh, brilliant Jen Ives, who's also smashing it in Edinburgh, and the fantastic Will Duggan, who is smashing it in Edinburgh.
Bloody hell!
Basically, I was looking at who was having a great time up in Edinburgh. I thought,
Crosby took a stroll up to the sold-out board.
I just
said,
I'm
having a load of that.
Let's have a few of them. We've still got one more person to book, but hopefully that they'll be booked by the time this goes on sale. But yeah, it's the 5th and 6th of September. Get yourself tickets and
Jerry Sadowitz?
Could be Sadowitz. I've not heard much about him recently, but I haven't read the papers today. So let's wait and find out. I can tell you now, it's not going to be Jerry Sadowitz.
It's not going to be Jerry.
The links to those shows will be in the show notes. So grab your tickets as soon as you can and come along and have a great time. We always have a fun time at Flat Share Slam Down.
Oh, I can't wait. Really looking forward to them.
It's great to be back as well. Clarkie's been away in Australia. It's going to be great to have the three of us and our pals back in a room together. I'm looking forward to it. It should be really good fun.
Will Clarkie have adopted the accent? That's the big question.
Absolutely. Well, if you're a fan of adopting the accent, Parry attempts it in this episode, so that's something to look forward to. This is the brilliant Kat Bond with a superb Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Enjoy.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Cold Cuts.
Kat Bond, thank Kat you so much Bond. For coming on the podcast. Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Now, it's a real treat.
It's a real treat. It really is. Now, tell us. Now, obviously, we're going to chat about other people's flat share situations. What is your living situation? Do you live with anybody? And what kind of a person are you to live with?
So I live with one other person, my partner, but I live in...
squalor.
A flat.
Sorry.
I live in squalor. I do. Please fill in the gaps. I live in squalor, but I live in one flat, but it's a flat of four. So we feel like we actually live with the other four flats. Because we literally hear everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We essentially bought this flat, humble brag, with them. Like, I feel like we should have got together and been a co-op and, like, see, you know, we should have connected and see how we get on and stuff because, yeah, we're essentially living with them.
And how do you get on?
Yeah, I was going to say that. And bear in mind, they can probably hear you right now.
Well, actually, I just checked because they'd messaged downstairs, which is the main kind of sharing that is being done, are actually away. But we get on okay. I think I'm quite a confident person, but actually I'm quite shy with them. I don't know why. Both of them are very, very beautiful downstairs. They're a boyfriend and girlfriend.
How do you mean by beautiful downstairs?
They're beautiful, like visually.
But the people downstairs are beautiful as opposed to they are beautiful downstairs. I was going to say, how intimate. No wonder you're scared of them. They're walking around with no bottoms on all the time.
Can you add us to this WhatsApp group, actually?
Yeah. It's a throw your keys in situation.
I've never seen their faces, but I tell you what I have seen, I love.
It does feel quite intimate because they've got a jacuzzi / paddling pool, like a posh paddling pool downstairs. Right. And in the summer months, obviously you need to have the window open, and it's next to our bedroom and their garden downstairs. We're on top of them. They started to build up to having sex, like talking dirty with each other.
What?
And
In the jacuzzi.
So I think it's a great idea. You know, when they get hot, get in the jacuzzi and the paddling pool. So we can hear them filling it up so we know what's about to happen.
Kat, there's a hose pipe down at the moment. What's going on?
I know, and they do use it very frequently, but I'm not one to judge. I'm a lover of a bath. But seriously, so they started chatting and then we realized the window is open, so we were trying to shut the window, but we didn't want them to know that we could hear them. So we're slowly trying to pull the window to in the fear, because as soon as you sort of, you know, when you pull the window to and you clunk the handle down,
it says something, doesn't it? That's a statement. That
and it's a real mood killer as well for them.
Well, I don't know whether they're into it, because there's part of me that also thinks it's like, Dana, we hear them have sex frequently, like right. To the point in which you're just like, is that the foxes? No, that's not the foxes.
They're an athletic couple.
Yeah. And I feel like they're quite show. I feel like they're showboating a bit, but that's just me. But yeah, so that's been the major thing. It feels like very, very intimate, but apparently they can hear everything of us as well. I don't know about the naughty stuff, but they can hear us like going to the wee and like everything. So it's that badly built. You know, we've made a really bad investment, is all I'm going to say.
If anyone would like to buy Kat's flat, we'll put the Zoopla reference in the show notes, if that's all right. Sure, it's very reasonably priced.
I'm quite interested, actually.
Harry shows up with a pair of binoculars. Keep that window open. Keep it open.
Yeah. It's very strange to be that kind of... You end up knowing someone's hours. I think he's a gamer and he's got a really loud voice, and I've really felt the rage with him before. Because obviously I work like really weird hours, and so you want to sleep at different times. So it's just very, very... So that's why I think I'm a bit shy with them, because I feel like I've sort of been a bit of a voyeur. You know that documentary about that guy who did live on top of someone, and he did like have a camera in a hotel room. He lived on top of a hotel and he had a camera. So I feel a bit like him, and it's not my fault, and that's not my vibe, really. That's not really what I'm into.
Are you filming them? Be honest.
No, not at all. But I'm very shy, like, when I see them. And my partner's really chatty and has got their number and stuff, but...
Yeah, he's got his snorkel on, hasn't he? He's popping out with his armbands. All right, guys. Room for a tiddler.
He's empty in the pool, like, yeah.
He's filling the pool.
He's filling the pool.
Have you thought about white noise?
I've been thinking about white noise a lot because I've been looking after quite a few friends' kids, like quite a few mates who are also performers and have had kids, and then obviously you can't stop. Well, you guys know you can't then suddenly just stop working. So I've been doing a lot of kind of, can you just walk around the block whilst, you know, I do this McCain's voiceover, whatever. And I looked after my friend's little boy, and she had the white noise on, and I was sort of staying the night, and it sent me. I started hearing voices in the white noise.
Oh no. So, like, your brain hears the thing that's supposed to block out everything, and it ramps it up to 11 instead.
Puts stuff into it.
I started hearing, like, I don't know. I think probably it was the tiredness and stuff. But yeah, it sort of sent me a bit crazy. But yeah, I might get some white noise. That is a good idea. They do brown noise as well, don't they?
I thinking of the brown note. Wait, what's brown?
You're thinking
noise?
Of the brown. I'm also thinking of the brown note. That's exactly where our brains went.
Are you familiar with the brown note? I mean, I think it's apocryphal, but apparently there's
aural weapon. Yeah. Right?
Weapon?
So you hear it, and it makes you sort of lose your bowels. Basically, it makes you void yourself.
Oh my gosh! So it's used as a way. It's a weapon.
Incapacitating people. Yeah.
So the idea is that the Russians had the idea to play it through massive loudspeakers on a battlefield, and then the enemy would all shit themselves, and then they could charge. They could charge at them
while they're reaching for the wet wipes.
That's incredible. That's so powerful.
I don't care how well trained you are. If you're on the, you know, you're manning the kind of machine gun, and then suddenly you go like, not only if just you shit yourself, but if everyone around you shits yourself. There's no way you're staying sharp on that trigger.
No. And also 100%. The army tuck their trousers into their boots as well. You can't even shake it out Great Escape style, can you? There's nothing you can do.
Oh, you're catching it. That's, and then probably people would be sick as well because of the smell.
So hang on, is this what we're suggesting to Kat, is that she discovers the brown note and fires out them whilst they're in the paddling pool?
Oh no.
Because once that's happened in your jacuzzi, you're not going to stay together, are you?
No.
You're going to walk.
It's going to really kind of take the edge off. That would be a good name for a podcast, wouldn't it? The brown note. That's a good... Yeah, I think that'd be awful. Yeah.
So what's brown noise then?
So I think brown noise is... I've heard of it because, like everyone in comedy, I've just had an ADHD diagnosis, and they said to actually... It helps with concentration.
Oh.
Apparently.
And how does it sound different to white noise? Because white noise... I thought white noise was just like... It's like TV static, isn't it? It's just like... Shh. Yeah. Kind of thing.
I'm imagining a didgeridoo type a bassier white noise. Like
I'm imagining it's just a long raspberry noise, just like like that just constantly playing.
That would distract me so much.
I tell you, we were talking about Edinburgh before we started recording. I was up for preview week, and you can play ADHD bingo this year.
100%.
It comes at about the 40-minute mark in so many people's shows this year. It's just like everyone's trying to not mention the pandemic, so it's like their 40-minute moment is like, I've got ADHD. And everyone's like, yeah, so's everyone else I've seen on the fringe. It's just like...
Surprised you made it to 40 minutes.
Yeah. That was the... And I've done it on the podcast. Clang. I went in Mac. That was the same. I was literally just writing it down. I was like, oh, God. It made me think, I'm just not going to mention it. But I just have now.
From the sorting out your beef.
Right, should we solve someone else's problems here? Should we have a look at some of the listeners'
Yeah, defo.
Let's do it.
I'm here to help. Happy to help.
Is our solution every time going to be the brown note? Because it feels like, we're going to have to resist that now.
We'll have a brown, you know, I think you can use, it's like a joke. It's like a joker in a pub quiz. You can use it once, all right?
Yeah.
One of these we can solve using the brown note, but it can't be the solution to all of our beefs today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tom, do you want to start with the one that was sent to you?
I do indeed. Mystic Vision Beef from Owen via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Guys, get in touch. We love it when you do, and we're always short on beefs. Anyway, Mystic Vision Beef from Owen. Hi, Pappies and guest, Cat Bond.
Hey.
My wife is very spiritual. Brackets, think Lusanda's vibe.
Okay.
And believes that when she meditates, she has visions of the future. I have a science degree and obviously don't believe in it, but each to their own. My problem is that she always describes the visions to me in great detail, starting with the phrase, I know you don't believe in this stuff, but... If telling people your dreams is considered annoying, surely detailing meditative prophecy is a hate crime. Well, thanks for all the content. I love listening to you guys as I grade oysters on my little farm down here in Tasmania.
Ooh.
All the best, Owen.
Oh, thanks, guys. Owen.
Can we just deal with the very last bit first and then go back to the problem? He's grading oysters on a farm in Tasmania.
Yeah,
incredible.
This is the thing. Our listeners contain multitudes.
You touch so many people, guys.
We touch so many oysters.
Emotionally.
How do you grade oysters?
I'm guessing by size, right? Presumably. Mm. If you're getting a plate of oysters, you want them to all look kind of a piece.
Right.
Is it a bit like, you know, in the factories where they sort of put chicken breasts together? You want it to look like they're all kind of the same-ish size.
That can't be Owen using his science degree to just put oysters of similar size.
Using a ruler.
He could be a marine biologist.
But maybe
there's other telltale signs in terms of shape, look, colour, personality. although he doesn't strike me as someone. Anyway, yeah. But how incredible! How incredible!
I think running an oyster farm and having a science degree, they do slightly go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
You've got to know about the quality of the water and what it's doing to the local.
Can we get some oysters?
Yeah,
I would say if they're going to be sent from Tasmania, they might not keep. I think if we've got a listener in Whitstable who wants to send us, I'd say probably don't pop them in a jiffy bag. I mean, yeah, no matter how many stamps you're putting on that, they're not coming out any colour other than green.
Fair enough.
Also, Cat would only give them to her neighbours, and that would only cause even more problems in the.
That would be a slight issue. I did once just get oysters on the beach and thought that I could chuck them myself from Whitstable and gave my family food poisoning because they ate them.
Wow.
It was really bad. Let's not talk about it.
I wish
you'd not brought it up.
The thing I like about oysters is I used to go to an oyster bar. Weirdly, when I was a teacher, we all used to go to an oyster bar as like a special treat. Because we were right by Canary Wharf and there was the oyster bar in Canary Wharf. What, you know?
Bougie teachers.
Which is actually more showbiz than anything I did since I joined showbiz. Mm. But then, I'm a podcaster, so there we go. But I appreciated like any food that's served to you by a man wearing a gauntlet. Seems exciting, doesn't it? Look. You know, he'd have a chainmail gauntlet and have like a sort of a big, sharp, pointy metal stick that he would use to shuck him with. It just seemed like
It's an immersive dining experience, really, isn't it?
It really is. It's like the Fawlty Towers dinner they do it.
Very similar. No oysters there. No oysters allowed.
So, I was going to ask Kat, on the Lusanda scale of, into things like psychic visions, where would you place yourself with 0 being our friend Owen and 10 being his partner?
I think I'm probably about an 8.
Right.
But I'm an ill-informed 8. I'm just very open. And actually, if Lou's given me some advice before and I've just gone to see that person, I was like, I just very, very kind of, yeah, open and just, if someone tells me to do so, obedient. I'm a very obedient spiritualist.
Very easily manipulated.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Here's how I feel about this. I think what we could have done with is a bit of a handle on what these visions of the future are going to be. Because I think there's something very different about, you know, saying I've gone to a different realm, as opposed to I've seen what's going to happen here. And it's like, what I'd like to know is, like, does she ever come back and say Everton are going to win the 2027 Cup Final?
Yeah,
is it?
Are we in useful information? Basically, are we in almanac? Like Biff Tannen, yeah.
Yes.
Are we in almanac territory? Are we in, like, oh, the streets are full of water and palm trees are growing out of the buildings, and you kind of go, well, I can see where that's come from. I'd like to know how specific we're talking about with these visions, really.
If the streets are full of water, presumably she's been to the year 3000, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And Owen's thinking, hello, oysters again. He's thinking
how busy he's going to be.
Things are looking up for old Owen. I think maybe.
Water world, the currency is literal oysters.
Here's what I think might have happened is this dude is nuts deep into a science degree. He meets this incredible woman, and then the morning after they first consummate, she says, I've had a vision, the streets are going to be filled with water. And he thinks, oh, fuck the science degree, I'm going to become an oyster farmer.
Yeah.
And she's actually set him on the course.
Yeah.
That might well have happened.
That's an incredible journey.
He's trusted her. Yeah, yeah. I also think, like, the way he finishes, where he says, like, I know people, no one wants to hear other people's dreams. Mm. And I guess that is largely true. But your dreams are your brain's way of processing your concerns and, you know, what your anxieties. And it's like, you know, it's like your brain defragging at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of do want to share your dreams with your partner a little bit, because they might go, oh, the reason you're dreaming about that is this is what's bothering you.
Yeah. And that could open things up in their relationship, and he needs to shuck that oyster, basically.
Imagine if her visions are like, I'm going to leave you for a rugby player.
It's a way of letting him down easy.
Are these personal visions? Are they? I think that's what I'd like to know more of on this, because what is the prophecy, basically? I must admit, I do find that statement that where he says, if telling people your dreams is considered annoying, surely detailing meditative prophecy is a hate crime. I'd argue that meditative prophecy might be more interesting than dreams, because dreams feel very, like you said, Crosby, very personal, and you go, oh, okay, I get it, you're scared about the meeting that you've got coming up, whereas this prophecy,
yeah,
it could incorporate all of us, and then you kind of go, hello, what's something in it for me you go, what if my partner's some kind of, you know, what's the name, Samantha Morton in you know, what if she's a, you
oh,
know,
like Minority Report.
Yeah, big? Exactly. Yeah. What if I've married some kind of prophetic...
What if I've
prophetic...
married a modern Nostradamus?
Yeah. You know, then we're talking.
This is it. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be so deep into your oyster shucking that she could be the key to getting us out of this pickle.
Yeah.
You know, and I use that word advisedly, the world is in.
He needs once. In fact, if he pickled his oysters, maybe he could send them to us.
I'm still not eating pickled oysters out of a jiffy bag, Tom. I don't care.
Oyster, you've changed, man.
Not from
you've
the other
changed.
Side of the world, mate. Come on.
I think what she needs is a small win. Like, yeah, she needs one. She needs Everton to win the FA Cup final in 2027, or she needs one thing that's like, your Aunt May's gonna go around the corner and
she
buy some
diet.
Milk.
Your Aunt May.
Your old Aunt May.
She's gonna come and get you.
Shouldn't have started attempting a Tasmanian accent, but it feels like she needs one small win. She needs one small win.
Yeah,
and then. Then you're interested.
Preferably about him.
I don't think that win's happened yet, and I think that's why he started to get a bit... Because when it first... I imagine the first time she comes in and goes, imagine you're living with someone, they're your trusted life partner, and they come in and go, oh my God, I've just had this... I've seen what's about to happen, and it's this. You'd be thinking, oh my God, this is incredible. And then it doesn't happen, and then 2 days later she does the same thing, you kind of think, okay, and then, you know, and then actually by the third week you're thinking, I think you're just saying stuff now.
Yeah.
He doesn't maybe trust her visions, and that's quite hard, because if that's her kind of main thing, it's tricky if your partner really deeply believes in something. Their job, if they're a rapper or whatever, if and they're just like not good at doing that thing, that's really hard, because you're supporting their delusion.
Yeah.
So that's really challenging. It's like when your partner first comes to see you do comedy and you're just like, oh my God, it's a good one, because they're kind of, you just think they're having to invest in that. And same with her visions. So yes, you're right, she needs one win.
So I think I'd ask her to start meditating on December 2022. Yeah. Like, just be like, you know, when you're meditating, just focus on, give her like a, like, ask her to drill down on something.
She goes, and okay, then it's I'm like, seeing it's a, kind of like, a decorated tree. There's a fairy on top of it. Tinsel around it. The telly, some of it's good, a lot of it's repeats. I've seen a roaring fireplace. I mean, is this, what are you hoping she's going to say about December of 2022?
If anything, he might get a clue about what she wants for Christmas. At the very least.
I'm unwrapping an Xbox. You're unwrapping another Oyster Gauntlet, as I get you every year.
Here's my final suggestion for Owen. You could engineer a win for her, and then she'll become scared of her own powers and maybe back away. So if she's predicted something, you go out and you know, you Wizard of Oz it, and you kind of like create something so that she goes, oh my God, I saw that in a dream and it's just happened. And I'd go, oh my God, I'm not sure I can.
That's what tends to happen when people have visions that come true. They then go, well, better not never do that again. I'll hide that light under a bushel.
Yeah, okay.
He could also join her, you know. He could start to maybe have some visions himself and see how she likes it, listening day in, day out.
Come on, mate, have a few visions yourself.
Fight vision with vision, yeah.
No, the last thing we want to do is encourage our listeners to take up meditation, because we don't want to lose any more listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, with your spare time, how about you just focus on yourself and concentrate on the future? No. Cram that silence with our voices, please.
Yeah. drown out all those thoughts.
Meditation is the podcaster's enemy in many ways, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I definitely think they're mutually exclusive for sure. So yeah, I mean, just keep listening. We're here for you, mate.
Yeah,
we'll give you some predictions. Everton are going to win the FA Cup final.
Have you put some money on Everton, by the way? Not even your team.
You're really manifesting that.
I know. Well, that's it. I think maybe if Owen goes for that and it happens in 2027, then his wife's going to think, oh, he's the real prophecy making dude, and I'll just, you know,
how much
I'll go
do
and
you
shuck
think
oysters.
People in Tasmania give a shit about Everton's chances this year. Is that a big concern of theirs? They've got their own football.
They're a universal brand. They're a universal brand, Everton, one of the grand old clubs.
That's true.
And in 2027, boy, are they going to romp home in the FA Cup final.
Right, beef solved.
Beef from the sorting, now your beef!
Beef solved!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Kat, do you want to read the one that was sent to you?
Platonic shoulder kiss beef from Spatula Fiend via Patreon. Okay. Hello. I have a beef about a former housemate who may soon become one again. Oh. I've tentatively entitled it Platonic Shoulder Kiss Beef. Ugh, love it already. My old housemate is one of my closest friends. We are both quite cuddly people and are especially so with each other. We'll hold hands, watching TV or walking, squashing a single bed whilst watching a movie, etc. However, occasionally her affection pushes past what I feel is acceptable cuddlesome friendship levels. Specifically, recently, when I was icing a cake, she came up behind me and dropped a kiss on my bare shoulder. My brain knows this is platonic. Hell, yeah, I love cake and my friend kiss. My body doesn't. This isn't the first time. And also she's done the same with my arm. Admittedly, whilst I was sitting on her lap at a small party. I know the boundaries seem arbitrary, but I went to a girls' school and they feel obvious to me. These aren't exactly forbidden areas, but to my mind, the acceptable places to kiss your friend are top of the head, which is fatherly, an ideal for shorter friends, forehead, motherly, a great way to say goodnight, cheek, if you're Spanish, mouth, if you're drunk and young. Oh my God, I love this.
I love this.
Hand, if you're about to fight a duel in their honour. We're hoping to move in together again next year and I don't want platonic kisses in our future house. How do I indicate that I do not wish to be kissed while still making clear that I love almost everything and that I want cuddles to continue? If a solution can be achieved via hijinks, shenanigans, charades, anything that isn't direct confrontation and especially without making her feel like she's overstepped in a serious way, that would be ideal. If it helps, we're both female, mid-20s, single and bi, but she is not, as far as I'm aware, looking for a relationship and definitely not with a woman. So setting her up with someone to kiss shoulders with probably isn't an option. Whoa.
There's a lot there. Can we just, first of all, like...
That's an audio book. That's my audio book.
Really good. But I think, can we just congratulate, was it Spatula Fiend who sent it? Spatula Fiend, yeah.
Spatula Fiend, Spatula amazing. Spatula Fiend,
can we congratulate you on the list of acceptable places to kiss a person on the body in a platonic friendship? Because I feel like you've absolutely nailed that. I feel like that should be... printed out on like little laminated cards
in a wallet. Yeah,
and you can say, look, we're friends, just so you know, have a read of this before anything goes any further, you know.
Well, that's your first solution, because that would be quite funny to the beef.
You know what, that's actually a very good idea, Kat. You print out your own list or
of your boundaries,
or you know what, you could do it in a lovely cross stitch and have it up on the wall when she moves back in.
You could rehearse a kind of like an air hostess chat where it's like, yes. Welcome to our home. I will be your housemate for the duration. The appropriate places to think are here, and here. Cuddles will be there. You know, you can do this, but there'll be no kissing here, or here. And it's like, enjoy your stay. And it's like a fun kind of...
That's so cute. And I love that. And that sounds like in their vibe, like they're obviously mates. It's really hard when those subtle things, but you're so close, you already kind of got interest in boundaries and stuff and affectionate, so it's really hard to be specific, but that obviously made her shudder a little bit.
Yeah,
but I love that thing. I thought big shoulder pads would be quite funny.
Oh well, Kat, that's victim blaming, isn't it? Saying, if you have bare shoulders around the house, people are going to kiss them, aren't they?
My gosh, that's so true. But yeah. Maybe they could.
One question
both...
you smashed the thing. What were you wearing? First of all, what were you wearing?
That is,
was it a vest?
Shocking.
Oh, you were asking for it.
Making icing with bare shoulders.
Oh, you know, you deserve everything you get. End.
That is, or maybe get them both like matching outfits with shoulder pads,
like
so that
proper dynasty,
so
like 80s power dressing type affair. Yeah,
and just be like, when she's making a cake, you know what we wear? Oh, cake making.
We dress like Joan Collins to make a cake. You know that
our cake making burka. Let's put it on. I was going to suggest DEET. You know, when you go, on a foreign holiday and you kind of, you put like mosquito stuff
all over your body.
It tastes, my wife plasters herself in it, and I find it, I get constantly caught.
Does it
kissing?
Even when she's not abroad.
Listen, we're on holiday, why are you spraying it there? Come on.
Also, we're in Hull.
She regularly sprays it body head to toe and deep ever since you got married.
Our wedding night, you know, she was worried about the mosquitoes, and I understand that, you know. And, you know, that mosquito vest is very thorough, you know, and I only one person fits in it, and I understand, I appreciate that. But if you've ever tried kissing DEET, horrible. So you could always DEET yourself as this kind of shoulders, arms. But, you know, I don't know if that's...
Again, it's the... It doesn't feel like you get to the root of the problem. What spatula feeder's got to do, yeah. It's a real tricky one. She said, like, hijinks. I feel like it would be quite funny to call it out, but in a funny way, just like, you're in love with me. You know, like, straight away, just, like, deal with it when she kisses her, but, like, in a jokey way.
Okay.
What, as in, like, so you just go, you love me.
Like, behave like it's like, oh, of course you're doing this because you're in love with me.
Do we have to deal with the possibility that this person might be in love with Spatula?
Yeah.
I guess there's always that possibility. When someone's as wonderful as Spatula Fiend, there's always that possibility that somebody's going to fall for them.
Such a wonderful way with words. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And the fact she said she's definitely not up for, not with a woman, and not looking for a relationship. I'm not a bit like Lady Doth protest too much. Like,
I mean, it like, that's the pity for me, is like, I love the vibe of these guys. It feels like, and like that, you know, the idea of them just popping on her lap at a party, and, you know, she decides, oh, I'll pop a little kiss on her. I just feel like, oh, this feels like really lovely vibes, but...
They've got that easy intimacy already that is actually sort of quite hard to get in the early stage of a relationship, isn't it? It seems like they've already got it. But also, again, if that's not what she wants, then it sort of, you know, that ends there, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. We're not going to push it.
I'd just say, if you haven't, I'm sure you probably have, pushed that as a possibility, but it might be worth examining whether that's something... You might be repressing that idea as well. I don't know, but also, like, that's what I'm saying is, if you do as a jokey thing, oh, please don't kiss me, you do risk, if the person's in love with you, it then becoming difficult, and or like, it's, you know, it's an interesting one, basically.
Yeah. What about the other option of telling? You know, when you tell a story about something that's happened, so a way of telling her housemate about what she doesn't like is by saying that another friend did that and she didn't like it. Or is that just a bit... It's quite tricky, isn't it? You know, when you sort of tell someone something, you're just like, gosh. It's like we had to do that with someone who was using... just not using deodorant, using just body spray. So we were able to tell a friend that someone else was doing that, and I was like, I think they thought it was deodorant at school, you know, when we were first getting a bit smelly.
I was a bit worried you were doing that to me right now in real life.
Because
body spray is great, right?
Body spray is amazing, but not to be used as deodorant. But yeah, just that tricky thing where she sort of says that another friend has done that and she doesn't like it. I don't know, I think that's kind of obvious and potentially terrible, but, and it's not hijink, shenanigans or charades. Unless you just play a game of charades. But how do you do the kissing the shoulder? That would be tricky.
Well, first word sounds like piss.
Second one off.
Sounds like boulder.
I think we need brown noise for this.
Oh, you think this is the one?
Only because I can't think of anything.
We need to play our joker.
Every time she kisses your shoulder, you play the brown notes.
Yeah.
Oh, brown notes. Yeah, feels extreme. And also, she lives in the same house. She has to clear it up.
Kamikaze. You just have to take.
Why are you watching that cake with headphones on? You'll find out.
Oh, so hang on. Every time she kisses you, just shit yourself. Is that what we're saying? Is that the other way to go?
Or do a little pop off.
That can't be the solution.
I don't think it is. Somehow.
Brown note yourself.
What about writing it on a cake?
Hey, I've just had an idea. Sorry, Kat. That's a really
You don't have to yes and that, Tom.
What exactly are you going to fit onto that cake? How big's this cake and what's the message?
Just put shoulders and then just do a big cross on it. Shoulders and then just an X. My solutions are so bad. Spatula fiend. I'm so sorry.
At the end of this episode, can we finish on the brown note?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just so that our listeners have it, should they need it.
I'll speak to the Kremlin. I'll text Putin now, actually. While we're doing the next beef, I'll text Putin and see if he can send it to him via WhatsApp.
You've been doing punch-up on his scripts, haven't you? I knew
that. Yeah, really well, actually. Yeah.
Right, he's really good on the podcast.
Yeah. Imagine we booked Putin before we booked you, Kat. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, we advised him on how to solve a beef with his neighbours. We regret it now in hindsight.
I think we may have gone a bit too hard. We forget it, sir. Some people take this advice seriously. I think the first solution was the best one. I feel like the rules, just a few simple house rules, the rules you've set down yourself. You know, you don't even have to do it.
It could be really playful.
Yeah, do it in a really playful. Do it like have a drink together and go, all right, let's make our list. You can have your list already in the back of your head. Let's make our list.
Yeah.
Where do you think it's okay? You know, you could even do it as another person. Yeah. You know.
Cuddles. No kissing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's really nice.
You know, and it's kind of like, because we can't fall in love. Imagine that. It'd ruin us being housemates, you know. And it's like a playful thing of like, we can't risk that we'll fall in love. And then, in fact, we nailed this early doors, didn't we? We did. We nailed this early doors.
Matthew, you just had it straight away. You didn't even know you were answering the beef. That's why it's become so second nature to you, resolving.
That's it. Thank you.
Resolution.
We had to walk down the corridor, stare the cake in the face that says shoulders with a cross through it to know that we'd gone too far.
I wasn't sure, like, how seriously you solve stuff, but you really do. Like, I feel quite emotional about how you're helping people.
It's been a journey so far, hasn't it?
It's really gone somewhere. Yeah. But I love that idea.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Can I just put as an addendum, don't rule out that this person could be the one and it might be a really cool thing that you've got with them.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. I love
just in
that.
In case you end up getting married and you can play this on your wedding day as like, you know what, there it was.
Yeah. And also that should be used as a stand up. The little bit about places to kiss is so good. If not, can I buy it off you?
It's good. It's really good.
It's funny.
Really good. It's a fantastic list. So this is wedding outfit beef from John via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Please do get in touch. John writes, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Afternoon, mate.
I offer you a beef. It isn't mine. I have no real skin in the game, but it's happening around me. I'll set the scene. My sister is getting married in September. Congratulations to your sister, John. My mum and my sister's fiance's mum got their dresses for the wedding from the same online outlet. I'm not being coy, I just don't know the name. My sister's fiance's mum had hers delivered to a family friend as she was in the process of moving house and works full time. The person who took delivery of the dress proceeded to try it on.
What?
Sorry? I'm sorry.
Come again. Right, if you take a delivery from somebody else, you don't unwrap the package, let alone then use the product, right?
It's against the law, Matthew.
That is against the law.
Who is this person? Is it a family friend?
Who opened it?
Well, it is a family friend. Yeah, so it's my sister's fiance's mum had hers delivered to a family friend. One of her family, one of their family's friend. the person who took the delivery of it proceeded to try it on. I think
mental.
That is mad. And that's John's words, not mine there. I think that is mad. Anyway, she finally gives the dress to my sister's fiance's mum. I didn't want to name them, even though there's no chance they'll listen. It is confusing, though. We're talking about the mother of the groom right here. Is that what we're assuming? So the groom's mother's got the dress back. It turns out she needed the dress to be slightly altered. Maybe it's been stretched out a little bit.
Altered as in not worn.
So she takes it to a place that does that sort of thing. The person working there asks if the dress is new. And if so, it looks like there are several food stains on it.
No. No.
That look like someone's tried to remove with a wet sponge.
No.
Right, John's really changed his tune in the next line of this. He says, I did say I had no skin in this game, but that was rubbish. The beef is, I think the Saints are so obviously from the person who took delivery and admitted to trying it on. Why admit it? My sister thinks they sent it out like that and these things happen. I should probably let it go, and by giving it to you guys, in some ways I have. Cheers, everyone. Bye, John. Brackets, front names only. Right, oh, well, this John. Is an absolutely amazing, astounding beef.
John. Thank you, John.
Huge thank you, John.
Oh, God, what an offering.
Let's break it down. Let's look at it from John's perspective. He is... Now, it's an interesting... The interesting thing, I think, is that he is angry on his sister and his sister's fiancé's mum. He's angry on their behalf. Everybody else seems to think it's sort of fine.
Yeah, they're letting it go. He's furious. He's like, how could you let this go?
You know, there is a the term, the, you know, the bridezilla or the groomzilla. He is the brother of the bridezilla. A very rare breed. The brother of the bridezilla. Who is
Brozilla.
He's the Brozilla.
He's the Brozilla of the bride. He is more worried about the wedding than his sister is. I mean, I think the sister's got absolutely the right attitude, because your wedding day, things are going to go wrong. That's just what happens. You know, it's a big day full of lots of moving parts. You know, you'll forget your can of DEET. Something's going to happen, you know. but there's full of little things that could go wrong. And it's really important to try and be as zen and as chill and as, like, you know, these things happen about it. And it sounds like the sister's already in that mind space, whereas John isn't. But that does not rule out that what the family friend did is batshit crazy.
Yeah. Is that family friend going to be at the wedding? That's something...
Yeah, I was going to say, are they going to be there?
And what's she wearing? A dress covered in food stains.
This, I mean, where do you begin? I mean, my initial...
Confrontation.
My initial thought is freeze the dress and DNA sample.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go old
well,
school.
No,
on it.
But the thing is, that doesn't work because she's admitted to trying it on. So
it's an interesting thing to admit, isn't it?
We know she's tried it on. Yeah. Why has she said she's tried it on?
So she tried on this dress
and then went to Five Guys.
And then
she got all the toppings. Every extra topping.
I wouldn't have this in my own clothes, obviously.
Just give us the works.
Don't need a knife and fork.
And if you could load it into a T-shirt cannon and fire it directly in my mouth, that'd be amazing.
went paintballing in it.
Is she involved in some sort of Daz doorstep challenge that didn't quite go as she was planned?
Oh, gosh.
Is there something in John ordering the same dress and wearing it to the wedding and standing next to the family friend? You know, like, and kind of like making her crack under pressure. Like,
I don't know if wearing a dress to your sister's wedding is solving as many problems as it's creating.
It's classic behaviour.
Listen, can I just say, it's 2022. Look, fuck it, you can wear whatever you like.
Yeah.
But I would say wearing the same dress as your mother and the mother of the groom when you're the brother on the wedding day feels like a statement akin to, you know, when the South Park boys showed up in those dresses on acid. It feels like you're saying something, which maybe he isn't.
And you're pulling focus, you know. It's always a fear that you're going to wear the same dress as someone else. I think he goes more like, he bases his own outfit on a kind of detective vibe sort of thing. And just in a quiet moment, you know, after the actual ceremony, in that moment where you're just having drinks, a few canapes, if you can find them, and he just pulls, he just goes over and he just says, can I have a word? And just starts to explore it as if, where were you? You know, and explores it like a full detective.
He shows up dressed as Columbo, basically, the crumpled suit, the trench coat. Just one more thing.
My real suggestion for this is you go with the whole case to either the best man or the father of the bride.
Love it.
And
love it.
This is dealt with in the speech.
Yes.
Yes.
Because wedding speeches, you cover a multitude of sins, and you can deal with these kind of issues in a room that will clearly take the humour of it, and you can go, come on, tell the truth. What happened? What were you eating? Oh, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, and it'll be a sensational bit of juice for the speeches.
That's fantastic. And I suppose as well, that kind of, it takes the sting out of it a little bit. I suppose the detective thing, you know, is a bit intense.
No, I think we could meet them both, because if instead of going for Columbo, you go for a Poirot-style approach, and John says to his sister...
You look good in that.
Yeah. John says to his sister, look, do you mind if I make a speech? And she'll say, oh, yeah, no, of course. And you stand up and go, I have gathered you here today for a reason.
And then
you kind of unfold all of the evidence.
More
alone than
Poirot when he did. It's another attempted accent that didn't quite.
Poirot was from Tasmania, right?
Listen very carefully, Asher says this all at once.
But you kind of, you know, you do your grandstanding Poirot moment as part of the speeches. You could go that way.
Right.
But
I love the speech idea.
I think the speech is... One other thing, right, and this might be a little bit left of centre, but... You go up to the wedding cake, you write shoulders on it, you cross it out. No, forget it. I was just spitballing them.
It's just kind of worth thinking about it.
When you said left of centre, I was like, what? Like, almost suggested. Yeah, okay, cool.
And then John goes up to the band and says, listen, for their first dance, here's 20 quid, play the brown note. Imagine if that was your choice. That's the most legendary first dance ever. If you
that,
just
that
go
would be incredible.
For your first dance, you make the entire room shit themselves. It started with a shit.
It would be a good way to get people out at the end of the night, you know, and they just go, we can play the last track. And everyone's like, no.
Have you got any floor fillers? Well, sort of.
Right off the back of New York, New York. It's up to
yes.
New York, New York. Carriages.
Oh, you can't get into an Uber like that. Someone's getting a one-star rating.
Brown star rating. Is that
oh my gosh.
Is that beef solved?
That's absolutely beef solved, yeah.
Yeah, beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved. So, Kat, do you have a beef that you would like Tom and I to solve?
That isn't your neighbours fucking in the hot tub and you firing the brown note at them.
Because we've solved that already.
With my neighbours. I'd like to be able to look them in the eye.
Yeah, that's... I feel like we know that... Like, that's the thing. I think we should look at... What's the WhatsApp group etiquette? Because I'm imagining there's a WhatsApp group, right? With the four flats. Is that right?
Yeah, there is, but I'm not on it.
Oh. Whoa, 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 whoa.
How did you manage to not be on the... Is your partner on it?
So my partner's on the WhatsApp group. I've just been added to one, which is called... Leak, drain leak, which when I saw it...
Wait, they're setting up individual WhatsApps for different problems.
For different issues.
No.
And I was added to that because my partner is away. And I just, adulting like that, I'm really, really struggle with. And they needed to get a key. Essentially, the flat next door to us, I don't know how interesting it is, essentially it's had a massive... The ceiling has completely fallen in.
Oh, shit.
And I was actually just on my way to Glastonbury to have a... to the healing fields.
Of course.
And my neighbour knocked on, called Ventus, and he basically said, I need to show you my ceiling. This guy has been...
If he took you in, it was like the Sistine Chapel. Look at that.
Stunning.
A decade it's taken to do that. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, enjoy Glastonbury.
He'd been up a ladder just painting beautiful, religious iconography. It's amazing.
Either that, or he just brings you in, starts playing the drums, and the ceiling opens, and you're staring at the mazoo of an old person who's just died.
We are quite terrified of him because his garden is very, very overgrown. His garden's next to our one. We've got like the back gardens, and basically he knocked on and basically just said, I've just found a fox's head. Like, oh, okay. And the way you were saying it is if we'd chopped off a fox's head and left it there. Like, he's quite a challenging guy. But anyway, so there's a massive leak problem. Oh, this is not really... What is my beef? My beef is my communication with all of them because I just kind of hard avoid. So I need to try and find a way of being an adult, stepping it up, forming relationships with people who I actually, you know, share a property with. Because I'm basically, I'm not on the main group. I don't have communication with them because I feel like I've seen too much and I've heard too much and I feel too much. Like, I'm worried about Ventus, basically.
It's serious. You clearly haven't let them know that you're a full-scale legend, and I think what we should do is we should kind of hone your social media, kind of what your approach is to this WhatsApp group. Like, for example, have you thought about going to Sainsbury's, buying the biggest leak you could find, taking a picture of yourself holding it and say, I've got your massive leak right here. And then suddenly people are going to be like, oh, this guy's a fucking legend.
Yeah. People love visual
that
puns.
That is true.
In a time of crisis.
That is true. Maybe I should just be like, I'm your favourite neighbour. Yeah, I'm definitely going to do the leak thing. Maybe I could do a little gathering. That's too much,
no,
is it?
I
do you know what I mean?
Gathering
I'm,
is good,
I'm all or nothing.
It's got to be. Do you have like a shared space at all, like a garden shared space or anything like that? Do you have, you know, or is there like a local pub that's like, you know, walking distance?
Yeah, there's a local pub. Go on, Tom.
Don't be the organiser. Don't be like, oh, come round, mates, we'll be friends. You've got to be the fucking legend. Like, order a fox's stole off the internet, wear it round your neck, and next time you see Ventus, go, right, Ventus, remember the old fox's head? And it's like, oh, my God. Suddenly, you're the neighbour who killed a fox and it's wearing its body.
Yeah.
Like a small-scale revenant.
Can't bond the shit out of the WhatsApp group, do you know what I mean? Just be like... Just bombard them with all the good stuff.
Yeah, I could just like bit by bit show them other pieces of the fox. Again, I'm taking all your advice and I'm making it terrifying, you know. But yeah, I like the fox idea. Do you think I should make a joke about hearing them have sex?
I'd walk up to that.
What?
I don't think I would.
So you think? Yeah, so you think? Do
I've
the
heard
leak.
You spring a leak before. Yeah, don't you worry about that. Look at my ceiling is a phrase I'm sure you hear quite a lot.
Could you kind of next time you can hear them having sex, record a little video of you doing almost like a TikTok dance to them having sex,
dressed as a fox, holding
maybe
a massive
with
leak.
Some advice with the pointing, you know, some pointing advice.
Oh yeah, that thing where you point at and some words appear.
Yeah, like
someone's just bought a hot tub.
Slow down, yeah, slow down, chill out.
Someone's just bought, yeah. I've just killed a fox.
Yeah, I do have some actual top tips in terms of that stuff as well because, yeah, some of the chat I wasn't impressed with. So yeah, I could maybe, yeah, I just need to basically make eye contact and be open. Yeah, just be a legend rather than putting on a spread.
What you have to remember is you're the most interesting person in that flat. Those people are lucky to live in the same building as Kat Bond.
Yeah.
And you've just got to let them realise that. You've got to go front foot on this. You know, like just because that fit couple are shagging loudly, that doesn't make them interesting. They're the pretty couple at school. They're always boring as shit. Yeah. The first couple at school who had sex and were like, we're having sex. You know, for me,
yeah,
it was,
we all know them.
Well, I'm not going to name them. We all know who they were. It's like they're always really boring. The most interesting thing they've got about them is that they're having sex. Well, we're not 15 anymore. Big whoop, you know, you're Kat Bond. You can have sex too.
I didn't know what a BJ was for ages. So that makes me more interesting.
Exactly. Get on the WhatsApp tell them that you
don't
know.
Open with that. Say, all right, guys.
I didn't know until I was 18.
How old were you when you found out what a BJ was?
I can't believe I said BJ.
BJ as well.
That's what people used to say at school. Okay, this is great. I feel like I've had a pep talk.
Yeah.
My confidence is high. Like, Tom, you're like a motivational coach. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go in there. I might start just leaving them some little... I could leave them and maybe a little note with a joke on.
Love it.
No, yeah, it's
that's
terrible.
Just, no, that's just off your trade.
Get into that WhatsApp group and work
I
it.
I know, like, get in.
Get on it.
Be funny on the WhatsApp.
Bam.
Yeah, I'll be funny on the WhatsApp. Yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. That's great. Thanks, guys. Beef.
Beef
stock. Yeah.
You sound really nervous about it as a prospect.
I'm terrified. I feel extremely anxious. Like, I've been set on a, you know, like when you make a promise, you're like, I make a promise to myself, I will do this. And I'm like, oh, I need to follow through. Check in with me next Sunday, yeah?
Well, if you need to follow through, can I recommend a notes that will really help you on that?
Fantastic. Oh, dear.
Kat, thank you so much for coming on the pod. It's been a total pleasure having you
on.
What
a treat.
Where can people see you? Where can people find you? What are you up to at the moment?
Oh, well, apart from being a legend on the WhatsApp groups.
You've got to lose the slight shake in your voice.
Okay, sorry. Well, yeah, I am... I'm gigging again, so I'm making a show. It's called Pleaser, ironically. And so I'm gigging out and about in London and doing bits and bobs. I'm also doing panto at Stratford East this year. I'm playing buttons.
Amazing.
That's a huge panto as well. That's a legendary panto, the Stratford East panto. That's amazing. That's a
I've never done it
theatre.
Before.
I love that theatre. Oh, my goodness.
You'll be such a great Buttons. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's set in ancient Egypt, so I'm playing a cat. Anyway, you'll have to come and see
absolute typecasting.
It all will be explained. Absolute typecasting.
Kat, get those boring cunts in your flat tickets. They'll blow their minds.
I tell you, you're doing panto, I'll tell you what, we've got a great prediction for December 2022.
Please let Owen know and his wife. I'll let his wife. I'll WhatsApp his wife. I'll put her on the group. Send her a fox.
Oh. Did Everton win the FA Cup in 2027? Oh, no, they didn't.
They didn't. He's behind you. It's Owen. Okay.
Kat, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Loved
what
it.
A dream.
Yeah, it's been a dream. Great. Thank you. From the sorting
out your beef. I loved all of that. It was such a treat to have Kat as a guest.
I love Kat. I loved having her on the show. Really, really
one
fun.
One of the great spirits of the comedy circuit. I just, like, she's got such a great vibe.
Love her vibe.
And my spirits.
We should have said at the start, she's a ghost. She's been a ghost all along.
Sorry, she's been dead for 30 years. But wonderful to have her in that lovely spiritual medium. She's just got such a, you know, she's a good soul.
She's a great soul, of course, the Patreon continues apace. Join the Patreon, please, if you like our podcast and want to send some money our way to keep the free feed free, but also to get some fantastic bonus content, including a whole beef that we solved with Kat that you haven't heard in this episode. That is over on the Patreon, patreon.com/ Pappy's Flatshare. Get along.
It's just a lovely community to be a part of. We do an extra podcast every week where we respond to emails and we play silly games. At the moment, we've hit on a brilliant feature, one of our new games that we're playing, which
Dan's
you
game.
Know,
it's great.
I don't want to say the next Taskmaster, but
I think it's a good reason
because it's quite hard to say.
Yeah.
But could Dan's game be the next Taskmaster? Come and find out on the Patreon.
Find out on the Patreon, guys. Yeah. Of course, don't forget the September shows for Flat Slam and still tickets available for the Cheerful Earful in October. So that's three Flat Slams happening in the next few months if you want to come along and see us live, which I really recommend because we're absolutely wonderful. Huge thanks to Kat Bond. Huge thanks to you for listening. Anything else to say, Tomos?
Yes, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham. Caution team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
G'day, mates. Mates. G'day. Will you please be upstanding for today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call?
G'day, mate.
Yeah, there you go,
mate.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, here we go.
You're starting down there, are you, mate?
I'm going to start down here. Yeah, I think I can always work up to here later on, but I think I'm going to start.
Down there, mate. Fair play, fair income, mate. All right. Brother. Well, listen, I want to tell you something. I'm going to give it a go, brother.
Yes, brother.
I was down the Great Barrier Reef with Sago.
Were you? Yeah.
I was, mate.
So that's how we're sort of dispensing with the rhyming scheme this time and just going straight for saying
No, I said, oh, mate, I'm going to give it a go.
Oh.
I was down Great Barrier Reef with my mate Sago.
Oh, I see. Right. Sorry.
I got caught up because I couldn't think of what Ayers Rock's called these days, and it really threw me.
Okay.
I didn't want to use that old name, and then I got all confused, mate.
Yeah, I tell you what, I was... I was at Sydney Opera House the other day. I mean, we're gonna run short of these, but
that was gonna be my next one,
okay,
mate.
I was at Sydney Opera House just the other day, and I saw my dear friend performing a lovely bit of opera, Oliver KJ.
Oh, mate, let me tell you something. I was at the lighthouse where they used to film Round the Twist, and let me tell you something, it was covered in leaves, mate. And I was there with Mark Hargreaves, mate.
Oh, mate. Oh, listen, the other day I was on Ramsey Street. Of course I was.
No,
I was,
mate.
Ramsey Street.
Leave some for me, mate.
And I said, where's everyone gone? And, of course, I realised that Neighbours was finished and everyone's moved out of Ramsey Street. It felt like tremendous folly. I said the same thing to my mate, Daniel Jolly.
Listen, mate.
Mate.
I was at Wolf Creek, mate. And let me tell you something, that wasn't very fun.
No?
It had the atmosphere of a crematorium, mate.
No, really?
And I said, I should never have come to Wolf Creek, mate. I said that to my mate, Morbitorium, mate.
Oh, I tell you what, mate, I was down at Byron Bay the other day. And, you know...
Was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
I'm not going to do a name, actually. No, I was down at Byron Bay the other day. I couldn't believe it. I reckon there are sharks in that water, but I don't know for sure. I said that to my friend, Uarama Fosua.
Oh, no, mate.
No,
mate. Let me
tell
you something. Mate, I've just been on Wikipedia, and let me tell you right now, I was at Uluru.
You were at Uluru?
I was at Uluru.
Yeah, you're at Uluru. Yeah.
There we go. I was at Uluru, mate. And let me tell you something. I had a real good time there,
yeah,
mate.
It's a great place, mate. I'm glad you had a good time. Oh, it's fantastic. If you took any snaps, I'd love to see them. Really, I'd love to see them, mate.
Well, listen, I had a problem with my camera. My cap was on.
No, not your lens cap.
Oh, no, mate. I didn't have any pictures of me being there with Ollie Johnson.
Oh, no, mate. That's awful.
Can
I
you
tell
believe
you what,
it?
You and Ollie Johnson, you really are a couple of silly men, you know? You really are a couple of silly men. I said the same thing down at Lassiter's when I was sinking a pint with Catherine Milliken.
Oh, going double neighbours, are we, mate?
Yeah, going, well, you know. You know, do what you know.
I was at Summer Bay, mate.
Oh, Summer
Bay.
Let
me tell you,
yeah,
things were going really well until Pippa, right?
Not Pippa.
Pippa only went and tried to adopt me and Tom Campbell, mate.
What? I'll tell you what. The other day, I was.
No, mate.
I was in Russell Crowe's house.
Oh, mate.
Oh, I tell you what. I tell you what, it's not so much a house, it's more of a ranch, you know. He's got acres acres filled with cattle, you know. That's a lot of cow land. I said the same thing to Susan Gowland, you know.
Oh, that's how it's done, mate.
That's how it's done.
The other day, mate, I was watching cricket at the MCG, mate.
Oh, the MCG, yeah.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you, mate, our bowling looked a little bit off. And I said, I don't fancy our chances here. Let's go slake our thirst with a can of VB. I said, that's Sarah Minslov.
I slightly lost sense of that, but I get your meaning there.
Oh, mate, you listen back to it. I think holds up.
I'll listen. Of course I'll listen back. I'll listen back to all of these. That's how I meditate, mate. This is my...
They used to put Neighbours on twice a day, mate.
Now what am I going to do? I've got to listen to this instead. I tell you what, I was having a couple of espresso martinis with Baz Luhrmann.
You're only human, mate.
Of course I am. I didn't feel human after the number of martinis he can sink, that poor, that lad. I'll tell you what. I
said that poor lad.
That poor lad. He was, can put him away. It's a real shame. Now, listen, I was saying, Baz.
It is a real shame.
I've loved your movie about Elvis. I loved your Moulin Rouge. I loved your Strictly Ballroom. But
he's an auteur.
Have you ever thought about making a movie about that that Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy?
Oh yeah, mate.
That Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy movie. Yeah, you know, I believe I've got it filed in my DVD collection as. Places, comma, trading. He says not a bad idea. And if I was going to,
that's not a bad idea.
If I was going to cast someone in the Dan Aykroyd role, it'd have to be my old friend Ian Hayden. So Trace is coming. Okay. Anyway, listen. It's great. It was great taking a trip down under there with your brother.
Oh, mate. Listen, that concludes today's Patreon neighbourhood watch roll call.
Sure does.
And it's probably for the best because my Australian accent's just upset my neighbour's dog.
Oh no! Oh god! You mean a dingo's going to take your baby? Watch out, mate.
Yeah, mate. I know. Well, that concludes today's Patreon neighbourhood watch roll call, mate.
Bye, everybody.
Is that Clarky?
I agree.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.